Thank you, Jesus. Let's read a text tonight, and you'll stand with me. I'll read a few verses in 2 Corinthians 3 and 1. Good to have Jeremiah with us tonight. Appreciate you coming. Do we begin again? You ever begin again? Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly, outwardly, declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but in the fleshly tablets, or tables, if you will, of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Hallelujah. Written in our hearts, but known and read of all men. I got a strange little title and thought for you tonight. It's not real deep, so you don't need thinking cap tonight. Changing the characters or the fonts? What are you changing? People are reading you. Is it the characters or is it the fonts? Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful for your blessings tonight. I'm thankful for the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It inspires us, Lord, to go on. That hope that we have in you, Lord, it thrills me to know that there is a hope not in just in this life only, but in a life to come. For if in this life only we had hope, we would be of all men most miserable. Lord, we ask you to bless our little service, our congregation tonight, as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Again, I'm just kind of rambling a little bit, but as I was talking, I began to think about a king that, you know, when kings would walk, they would walk the wall. You know, they'd walk across the wall and in their fine purple and, you know, soft array, and behind them they had this long tail, and someone would kind of carry the tail, you know, as they would walk across the wall and let everybody see that they're the king. That's what politicians do. They want to be seen, right? And so I remember one time, though, that there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land. And the king is walking the wall, as he had done many times. And to look at him, and I'm talking about fonts and characters tonight. When you look at him, you would read, you know, ooh, look at the purple. Look at the array. Look at the jewels. Look at the crown. Look at the people. He follows him. But it's a famine. Let's get real. It's a famine. So you can admire all the beauty of the font, if you will, and say, look how he's arrayed. That didn't feed you. And so word got to the king as he walked in the wall that they were eating each other's children. And when he heard that, he went like this, and he rent his clothes like Superman, you know. But underneath there wasn't a big S. It was an S, all right. Sackcloth. Yeah, I thought of that, brother. I need to appreciate it again. Get me some sackcloth, put a big S on it. Sackcloth. Underneath the font was the real character. A man who really was worried about the people and really was petitioning God. But if you just looked at the font, you would think he's a king and he's in purple. You know, that sackcloth, Brother Buddy, probably nobody knows more about sackcloth than you do. Who would want to wear sackcloth under clothing? Well, they did that to show humility, ashes and sackcloth, because it would rub you raw. You know, and it was a show of humility, because it was that fabric is of the worst quality there is. What you put in sackcloth is not your fine china. It's your dried up peas and things like that you put in there. But he, underneath all the facade, if you will, was a man whose heart, who was really concerned about Israel and the people of God. So we, you and I, the Bible says, we're epistles read and known of all men. What are they reading? The thought or the character? Let me lay a little groundwork here this evening. The character of a letter, if you will, is the spirit in which it's written. And it's the content. It's the way the words are arranged. It's how it's said. It's the meaning of the body of the letter. Conversely, the font is like the typeset. It's the digital printer, if you will, that you choose your fonts. How many of you ever chose fonts before, right? In the old typewriter days, you know, where fonts, just to give you a little education, where font, the word font comes from, you remember, font really means fountain. And it comes from fountain. Well, when you have it was from like a fountain pen. And a fountain has all the same ink in it. A fountain has all the same water in it, right? So even James said, my brother, a fountain can't yield bitter and sweet water, right? It's one or the other. So a font is the same character or the same style, I should say. So that when they made a typewriter, they made them all together of the same font. It was one font. Today, you can change the font. When we chose our sign out here, we looked at, you know, Harvest Time Worship Center. Do you want it to look, or you want a block letter? Name me a few fonts. Somebody, you teacher, what? Name me a font. Caught you off guard, didn't I? Arial, yeah, that's a font. Yeah, that's one. Gothic, huh? Block letters. All of these are fonts. And down to days with a click, you can just change the font till you get it to look like you want it to look. But can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it doesn't change the character of the letter. It doesn't change the contents of the letter. It's the same body of the letter that it was before you tried to make it look like something important and look like creative. It says the same thing. And even in preaching, there's some preachers, they have fonts. I mean, you can develop your own font. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, and darkness was upon the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke. And you create your own font. But when you get through, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says the same thing. So we can't get carried away with fonts lest we miss the content of what God is trying to say. And so you are a letter written and read of all men. I have learned, Brother Petrie, if you keep something long enough, it goes back into style, right? Styles change. I don't really care for styles because they just make you spend more money. Before long, you get embarrassed to wear what you used to wear because it's not the style anymore. So we are very stylish people. And you don't have to act like you're not. You are. And many times you can quickly change your font and change the way you look and change your clothes and look different, but you're still the same person. Underneath all that font, we need to understand that when we come to Christ, there must be a character change. A character change. And not just a font change. Too many people change their font without changing their character. And I want to show you in my study tonight a couple of blind men's characters and their fonts, if you will. Let's look at first ones in Mark 10 and 46. And they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat at the highway side begging. I will never, ever, ever forget, as long as I've got my mind, the first blind man I ever saw. Can anybody remember, perhaps? I remember. I was downtown. I don't remember, here in Lake Charles, and my dad, we was And this guy was sitting there with a blind man. And this is how, you know, I'm young and I'm dumb, okay? When you're young, you're dumb. So I saw him there with some pencils. And he was blind. I'm like, what's he want the pencil? He can't write. He can't see. What does he have pencils for? He was offering you what he can't do. He was offering you to purchase those pencils for a little alms, for a little token. I give you a pencil for your offering. And I remember as that blind man, you know how they do. He was, and it indelibly printed in my mind. I can still see it today with his legs crossed. And it reminds me of a man that's blind at the gate called Beautiful, right? And so here we have this blind man and he's begging, set by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. I can't see, but I can cry out. I can't see, but I can cry. And said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. See, he had already heard about Jesus. And now he's coming my way. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know, there's something about a person feeling like they're going to miss it. You know, that's what compels you to buy things that you don't want, you really don't need. Well, this is the last one. You even go on Amazon. They're lying. It says four left. They're lying. I know because I sent them 90 of them. But they want you to believe that if you don't hurry up and get this, you're going to miss out. And so many people buy into things because they're afraid they're going to miss out. When I'm telling you, there'll be another opportunity. But some things only pass by once. And when Jesus is passing by, brother, you better cry out. Some things, you'll get another chance. Brother, I remember two brothers. It should be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. That's what it should be. He was the firstborn. He was the one that should get the birthright and the blessing. And it should be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But Esau thought life was passing him by. And we Jacob, now I know his name means trickster. I know it means supplanter and all these things. But I want to tell you something. He didn't trick Esau that day. Come on. He didn't trick him at all. He said to Esau, sell me thy birthright this day and I'll give you the beans. You'll get the lentil. There was no trick. And Esau said, life is passing me by. Well, I might as well take this while I can because if I don't, I'll die. And what good is my birthright going to do me anyway? And so he traded him his birthright for a bowl of beans. I'm here to tell every Esau there'll be another opportunity in life. Loneliness will pass. There'll be another opportunity. Things that you think are passing you by in life, I'm telling you, you'll get another opportunity at it. But when God passes by, you better latch hold. He knew that Jesus was passing by, so he cried out the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, now watch this. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? As if he didn't know. What, sir, would you have me do for you? And the blind man said unto the Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and went his way. No, it's not what it says. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. This man was forever, ever changed. No more sitting there rocking and doing this and saying alms and waiting for somebody to bring him. Now that God had changed him, he can either go his way or go God's way. It's up to you. See, he's going to give you that choice. Go thy way. What did he tell the woman that had sinned? Go thy way and sin no more. The man from Gadara, he sent him home. You got a choice to either follow him or go your way. Now watch this. This was what was interesting to me. I want to show you another blind man. Acts chapter 9 and 1. Our first blind man, it is Jesus that's asking the questions, what will you have me do? And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. This Saul is a killer. He is breathing out threats against the disciples, up against Peter and James and John and all these followers of Christ, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. I mean, this guy was going to get some letters, so I have papers in my pocket to say, I arrest you under the name of King Herod. And he journeyed and he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And this man now is blind. We could read the other account in Acts chapter 26 when he tells King Agrippa. But he is now blind. This blind man says, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? See, the other one said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. This blind man says, who thought he knew the Lord, says, who art thou, Lord? I told a minister today, come by and visit me in the office. I said, I'm so hungry to find a lost person. Everybody thinks they know the Lord. Everybody thinks they're rapture ready. And Lord, I'm struggling myself. I'm still trying to make it. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said to the Lord, what will thou have me to do? Quite a difference. Two blind men. One says, the Lord says, what do you want? And he says, that I might see. But the blind man here says, Lord, what would you have me to do? What's the difference? One was born blind, and the other one had his sight and lost it. What would you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. That's got to be kind of spooky right there. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, now I don't know what kind of light this was, but have you ever stared into the sun? Huh? You ever tried to stare in the sun? You can't really. In Acts chapter 26, he says that it was brighter than the noonday sun when he's telling King Agrippa. And so this must have been some kind of a flash. Because as soon as bright lights hit your eyes, what do? It's automatic. You close them. But this was so quick and so powerful that he was blinded immediately. And only him. The others hear the voice, the Bible says, but they didn't get the flash. They had ears to hear the voice, but they didn't see or perceive the light. And so here we have this blind man, and he arose, verse 8, from the earth, And when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to the same place he was going to go to get the other people. With the papers in his pocket, you remember? Isn't that amazing how God turns things around? And he was 3 days without sight and neither did eat or drink. He wasn't hungry. Then verse 17, I won't read you all this story. And Ananias, who feared Saul, went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I tell somebody tonight, God always has one person to direct you in the way of truth. One. It doesn't mean he doesn't use other people, but there's one person that's going to direct you in the ways of truth. And so here's the man who doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He doesn't believe in Christ. He's killing people. He doesn't care if he kills them. It doesn't matter. This man is told to go to Straight Street, and there somebody will tell you what to do to receive your sight. And it says right here, he sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forewith and arose and was baptized. He got the whole nine yards right there. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Paul certain days with the disciples that were in Damascus. Boy, what a change. Here's what I'm preaching tonight. A change in character. What a change in character. He's still the bold font, if you will. But the change in the character is amazing. And straightway preached Christ where? In the same place he was going to go arrest him and kill him. He went and preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Have you lost your mind? Watch. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name, they wouldn't even say it, this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent? Didn't he come here to kill him? And now he's saying, believe on the man that he killing people. You talk about a change. That he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. I don't know if you caught that right there. When your character changes, you prove that Christ is in you. The font don't matter. The character does. And he proved that Christ was the Son of God by his changing his character so abruptly. Are you understanding this tonight? I was young when I came to the Lord, so I kind of was always the same. But some of you got the Holy Ghost later in life. And when you go back to work, they're going, Lucille? Julio, is that you? What did you do? And Paul had changed with papers in his pocket to kill him. Now he's preaching to him. What a change in character. Paul tells us then, as I close tonight, that we are epistles written and read of all men. What about your font? I'm not too worried about it. I'm worried about your character. What are you showing to men? How do you open a letter? Anybody wrote a letter today? Raise your hand. Anybody other than me? I struggle with that sometimes. I don't know how to address people and how to close it, you know. So I was writing a guy in China, actually, I'm like, they write real, yeah, you know, it's like, did you get letter? You know, they don't put a lot of the little letters that we write. And so I'm like, and they use a first name, it's American, a last name you can't pronounce. But it's Carrie Zimmerman, you know. And I'm like, dear Carrie, hi Carrie. You know, they taught you in school, start off good, the middle body's okay, and end good. And so how do you, you know, when the apostles would write letters, they'd say, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They started off good. And boy, then they hammered you after that, you know. But they started off like, got you, they're going to treat me nice. And then you have the body of it. And then sooner or later, every one of us get to the closing remarks. We get to the part that we close. And as I was writing that guy, I got to the end. And I'm like, sincerely, sincerely yours. Truly, truly yours. Thanks. What do you say in closing? What's going to be your closing remarks? Not just when you pass away, but when you meet people. What do they leave with? What do they leave with? Can I tell you that Christ closed on the cross and said in one place, it is finished, was his closing remarks. But you know, that can be kind of confusing, because if you're on the ground there and you're against him, you say, yeah, it's finished, all right. He's glad he's dead. You might could misinterpret that a little bit. So I wrote what Luke said. I want you to read what Luke said. This was his closing remarks. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, here's my closing remarks. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Father, into your hands I'm giving you back what you gave me. What are you going to give back, God, at the end for your closing remarks? The old song we sing, and all my trophies I'm going to lay down. What are you going to give him back in life? It's not going to be your trophy, your softball trophy that you're still holding on to when you was in high school. He doesn't want that. He wants your spirit. Stephen, being stoned, had a few closing remarks in his letter. All the font was gone, brother. They were gnashing on him with their teeth and stoning him at the same time. A lot of times we think they're just throwing stones. Honey, they had them in their hand. They're bashing you with them. Because they were gnashing on their teeth and stoning him. But he said, I wrote it. Stephen's closing remarks. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And with these words, he fell asleep. Closing remarks. Paul closed. How did he close? You remember that? Paul wrote a bunch of epistles. But how did he close? Do you remember? Yeah, there you go. Say it for me, brother. Kept the faith. Finished my course. I finished my course. Yeah. That's my closing remark. He's right. He's a dying man. He said, Timothy, it's near. And he said, let me tell you my closing remark. I fought a good fight. He said, he's crippled. He said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Let me tell you, it matters how you close. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not for me only, but for all of those who love his appearing. Let me tell you, with Paul, there wasn't much font there, if you will. Some people think font is short for Fontenot, but it's not. He said, I don't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I've said many times, there's nothing better than a good old demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As they sing tonight, I know we got to go. Would you stand and sing with them?